We are joined by Philly Slugger. First base, left field. I'll ask about the left field because there wasn't a ton of it last year, but we're with Reese Hoskins. Reese, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you calling me a slugger.
Thanks for hopping on, man. And yeah, I mean, well, especially with present company, we'll take some digs at Trevor too if he's going to take digs at us, but you are the slugger on right now. Dude, just how you doing? Like, where's your headspace at? As we're recording this, it's Friday, and, like, New York City kind of just got shut down. Like, how are you doing with everything?
I mean, obviously, it's a little weird. I got home to Philadelphia late Tuesday night. What's today, Friday? See, I don't even know what day it is.
Yeah.
And we just been, I mean, it's been okay so far. I have, like, a driveway that I've been able to get some workouts in. But, I mean, other than that, it's... How many movies can you watch in a day?
Are you like garage door open, working out in the garage in the driveway, blasting 80s music like a scene out of Stranger Things?
I mean, I should. No, we have – so we live in like a little community, and in between the houses there's a long shared driveway.
Ah, okay.
Are you guys going to the yard right now? You going to the stadium?
So I actually just tried to go today, and they turned me around.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you say the, do you know who I am?
I was like, well, is anybody else in there? But yeah, apparently I'm going to guess maybe for a week that we're going to be, you know, locked out of the stadiums, and I'll be running up and down the stairs as much as I can and carrying around a band and doing pushups randomly. We'll get it done.
Yeah. It sounds very similar to my life and my quarantine lifestyle. When you joined us, Plouffe called you Reeser, and I wanted to ask if Girardi has given you a nickname yet, because he gives – we're Yankees fans, so, like, everyone got – like, if I know Girardi, he calls you Reese, which I think is weird.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Okay, good. That's a huge win for
you. That's what my mom called me.
Okay.
I see.
I think I've talked about this with Trev in the past, but no one's called by their real name and – baseball, or maybe even in all sports, right? So like Trev's Trev or Ploofy, or most of the time I'm Haas.
Okay.
Which, short and sweet, it works for me.
And then leads to Big Haas.
Sure.
Big fella. Big Haas. That's a nickname on Baseball Reference for you. This big fella.
That's a Players Weekend.
Oh, okay, that's your Players Weekend.
My college roommates called me that, so that's kind of a little ode to them.
I wanted to ask you about. Plouffe, go ahead.
No, so that's a good nickname. I mean,
it is.
You want to have that, especially if you're a guy that hits homers, like you call Big Fella. It's great.
It's great.
It fits perfect.
I wanted to ask you about your time in college, because the one tidbit that always floats out there is that you got the scholarship to go to Sacramento, and then you foregoed some of your scholarship money so the team could bring on a pitcher. So first off, is that true?
It is true. I foregoed some of my college scholarship my junior year.
Was it a freshman pitcher that got brought in or a transfer?
It was a JUCO guy.
Okay.
Transfer, yeah.
And then did you hold it over his head? Like, hey, man, I'm paying for you to be here.
No, I should have.
You should have.
Back on it. Trev, you might know this guy's name. His name is Alex Palsha. He went to Long Beach State for a little bit.
I don't know. I don't know if I recognize the name.
No.
It really is an incredible story, by the way. Like, I don't know many people. That's like you and Tom Brady are the only people that do that. So you're in good company.
Tampa Bay.
I still don't understand.
Yeah.
You know, we were kind of looking you up, doing the Wikipedia and stuff, and I knew a lot about you, but 4.0 GPA coming out of high school. You're a banger. But Sac State is the only college to offer you. How does that happen? Like, how was that miss?
So I played three sports in high school. So I never really did the summer ball circuit. I was always, you know, playing football. In the winter, I was playing basketball. And I can remember three seasons in a row, I ended the basketball season like on a Thursday and basically just showed up to the baseball diamond the next day and was on the team. And off we went. So I didn't play football my senior year, so I kind of finally got to do summer ball there. But at that point, I feel like you're kind of late, right?
Yeah.
So
I guess so. And the way they scout now is just all those AAU and summer ball. So that makes sense. That it's not as disrespectful as it seemed when you just read it. You just weren't showing
I had a couple like preferred walk-on opportunities in some Pac-12 schools. I know growing up in Northern California, I always wanted to go to Stanford. Thank God I didn't. But
Sac State is a good school. It's a good baseball program and a good conference. So it's not like it's a bad thing. It's just interesting to me that, you know, when you read up on you, it's like Reese got one college scholarship offer. And that, to me, it's like that's a huge miss.
Like, yeah, I mean,
how people did it, but
my biggest reservation about going to Sac State was had nothing to do with the school or baseball. It was just being at home.
Yeah,
you know, I didn't really think like I was going to get that college experience. Big football school, party as much as I can. Which I mean, we still did our fair share of partying.
Sure.
Yes.
And hey,
but being close to home was cool.
Did you ever go up to Chico, float down the river?
I didn't. But we floated in the American River, which Sacramento.
That's a badass sentence to say. It's floating down the American River.
That's plenty of times.
That's as American as it gets.
There you go.
And yeah, hey, that one scholarship is still more than half the people you're talking to right now, and things worked out pretty well for you. I'm interested. We touched on this the other day because all baseball people are kind of losing their mind right now. Everyone's losing their mind.
Sure.
But leaving base, what was your basketball game like? Were you 6'4" and thick, or were you a little thinner, or what was your high school basketball game like?
I was definitely thinner.
Okay.
I went to a all boys Jesuit school in Sacramento, and I was the biggest guy on the team.
Okay.
So I was kind of the do everything that nobody else wanted to.
Yep.
Guard the big dude, box out, take charges, pass the ball, you know, 4 points, 8 boards. That was kind of the standard.
Love line. That. Love that.
Not just a gamer, a
That's
grinder.
That's the hero. Every team needs it.
Honestly, though, basketball practice was sometimes way more fun than the games. Just punking some of the younger kids.
Yeah.
It was fun, though.
Did you play against anybody like that ended up being in the NBA and like?
Yeah,
it was
a couple
just a complete
dudes.
Mismatch.
So, the school that I went to holds a tournament right around Christmas. That's pretty big. We would get, you know, schools from all over the country, Texas, Denver, and we played a guy from Strake Jesuit in Dallas. His name's Tim Frazier.
Oh, yeah.
He's now in the NBA.
Penn State.
He went to Penn State. I played against I can't remember his name. He went to Duke. He was in that same tournament.
Decent school.
And then the biggest one is Aaron Gordon.
Oh,
my.
Yeah. He went to Archbishop Mitty, which is a Bay Area school. Look at that. Boom.
Oh, there it is.
There it is, yeah.
Was he just was he different back then? Like, was that the guy you saw in the corner? It's like, oh, all right.
Yeah, so yeah. He was a freshman when I was a junior, which is crazy to think about. But he was as athletic back then as he is now.
How about football?
High school sports, it's like, yeah, football is – I think football for me is when you see those guys, like the clips of Derrick Henry or someone like that in high school, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
Like if you're just like a little kid going up against a grown man, I mean, you can get hurt seriously.
Have you seen the video going viral today of that the little white kid guarding Zion in high school? And he's like clapping in Zion's face. He's like 5'3". That just had to be a joke. And Zion looks at the bench and goes like, this
can't.
What?
This? What's going on here? It's crazy. Was baseball your favorite sport in high school? You played all three?
Honestly, my favorite was probably basketball. I had the most fun playing basketball. I just knew I wasn't going anywhere. I was a 6'4" forward, but
miles and miles of heart.
Only in high school.
Miles and miles of heart.
I just was always the best at baseball of all three, and knew that was my best chance to get college paid for.
How far do you and Trev go back? Because Trevor's kind of introduced us to this California baseball world, and I know you are a NorCal guy, Trevor SoCal, but California, I mean, it's its own beast, and Trevor walks around like he's the mayor of everywhere he goes. Did you guys link up? Was it when he joined up with the Phillies or before that?
Yeah. Yep. So the first time I'd ever met him was last year when he joined the Phillies. Obviously, I'd heard the name, knew he was
two years ago, man.
California guys.
He still got a little juice at Philly camp. We were walking around. A little bit of juice.
I got a little juice there. Not too much.
Not as much as Reese.
It was actually 2 years ago, Reese. Time flies.
Holy cow. No way.
Yeah. And I have heard a ton about Reese playing.
That was 18?
That was Lehigh. What's that?
That was 18?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I was in Lehigh, and everyone was just singing your praises, and I knew who you were. I'd seen you go off. You know, in 17, you came up and hit a zillion homers, which is awesome.
Which is fun.
Congrats.
We'll talk about that. Yeah. And like I said, in Lehigh, everyone was just really high on you. So I got called up kind of randomly that year, and I was really excited to meet you. And then that team was great. Like the camaraderie on there and just the cast of characters. It was one of my favorite teams to be a part of. And I'll tell you what I love about Reese. Like, he's a great guy, smart guy. I love his swing. A lot of good things about you. My favorite thing about you is your like batting cage attire. So Reese walks around in a crop top.
Oh, yes.
So he just kind of like shows off the abs, and he goes in there, and he's like kind of like a 90s football player that's got like the tied up shirt, and he just goes in there and rakes. And I'd be honest with you, I'd never seen it until Reese did it. And I'm kind of I've been looking for it ever since.
I think that started in Lehigh. Dong, which Trav knows Dong, he's our assistant athletic trainer. He was in Lehigh when I was there, and we were in Durham, and where do the Braves play?
Gwinnett.
In the middle of July. So it was
hot.
Balls hot. And he was like, let's go outside and work out. So I just cut this crop top up, and it kind of stuck with me.
Jake's a big crop top guy.
Yeah, I went viral. There was a whole thing. There's this like supermodel that was at a Yankees game posing, and like Barstool posted something, and then it became this whole, is it sexist? Is it not? So then I went to the stadium the next week and posted. It got like 10 million views, but we're not here to talk about that.
Views or views?
No.
We're not here to talk about that.
No. I want to talk about your 2017 come up when you went crazy hitting home runs. At what point did you take a breath and be like, what the hell is going on right now?
This is easy.
Yeah. And I think I was just looking at your minor league game logs, and you were hitting home runs that whole August at AAA too, which makes sense. They brought you up, and then it just stayed.
I think the most like, okay, what the heck is going on moment was we played the Cubs 4 games at home for Players Weekend. I think it was like the middle of August, maybe towards the end. And I hit homers 4 games in a row. And I remember thinking, like, I was 0-for-4 in the last game. It was off KG Aohara. And I was like, dude, this is it. Like, I'm going to hit a homer. It doesn't matter. Like, it was the craziest feeling. You get those feelings, right? You're just so locked in that you don't know what's going on. You're not thinking. Like, I could have gone up there and tried to hit the ball at the handle, and things would have gone
well.
You
going to the ballpark, you were going to hit a homer.
Yeah.
It's an incredible feeling, and you don't get that too often. I mean, you probably had it more than I did. I had a run not as good as yours, but there was a time, it's like 2012, where I just knew I was going to hit a home run.
Yeah.
And when you're in it, you're like, this is going to happen forever. I'm the best hitter of all time.
Ever.
But it eventually comes – well, for me, it came to a screeching halt. But that feeling is incredible.
I remember telling reporters after, like, I kept feeling like I was giving the same interview over and over. I kept saying, like, look, this is going to end. I don't know when. I hope it's not till next year. But at some point it's going to end. And I was just like, I'm going to just try to ride the wave as long as I can.
Yeah, that's a pretty good spot to be in when you're raking so good you have to tell the reporters, like, this will stop.
relax.
This will not continue. And then, yeah, flash forward, I mean, 2018, you do your thing. And then last year, you know, they add a couple dudes, Harper, McCutcheon. I mentioned you didn't. Did you get one game in left field last year? Did you get in left field?
I don't think so.
I mean, does that hurt you? Do you like left field? Or were you like, no, those guys are cool, I'm fine with that? Or how did that go down?
I mean, if I could pick, I would not pick left field.
Okay. That's fair. And I think the other thing I was wondering.
Not enough conversation for you out there?
Well, you just kind of get lost in your thoughts, and that's not good for any baseball player. And I never played the outfield. I played 3 games in the minor leagues.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I read that. I read the scout said, like, keep him at first base. Then the Phillies put him in left field right
away.
and
I'm okay with
that. In the outfield, in the big leagues, I mean, it's not like
– Yeah.
In the minor leagues, you can get away with it. You
for sure.
You're not going to be on SportsCenter if you mess up. But you get thrown in there in the big leagues, that's a tough thing to do.
Do you have a highlight from left field?
I do. I actually turned a triple play from left field, or started a triple play.
Hell yeah.
Okay, we're on that.
That's when you walked back and you're like, all right, I'm good. I've done everything I want to do.
Okay, it doesn't matter. What I do bad, I I got a couple assists, though.
I thought you looked good out there. You know, I saw you work, and you know, the first thing they said when you were doing that was, this guy's working his ass off. And that's kind of what you have to do. But it's not fair to ask a corner infielder to go play the outfield and expect him to be like an Alex Gordon transition. It's just, that doesn't happen very often. It's very hard to go out there and adjust, especially in the big leagues.
I mean, the ball's different. The stadium's different. The third deck, right? And you got guys.
Fans yelling at you.
Exactly.
That's exactly what I was going to ask, because I feel like on this side of things, and – you know, Twitter world, Instagram, everyone is, oh, you know, catch a fly ball. And A, half of those people can't. We went down to spring training and we just made asses of ourselves recently.
Yes.
But
awesome.
It is the biggest thing, just the different stadiums, or is it just doing it day to day, or what was hardest for you?
Yeah, I would say different stadiums. Like, obviously we get a ton of work at home, so I obviously felt way more comfortable, like, just with sight lines, the lights, you know, things like that you have to know and get used to. And of course, my first road trip was San Diego and San Francisco. So trying to play outfield for the first time in San Francisco was a nightmare.
No, it's not good.
The Yankees just did that to a prospect in their organization as well. They're in San Francisco and never played left field ever. They put him out there.
Go get him.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Have fun, kid. Jeez. What now you're kind of perfect for this new age generation of hitter, and I'm interested to see your question, because we asked this to Kevin Biggio and he gave us an interesting answer. But I mean, man, you got the power, you got the on base. What at the end of the year, when you're going back through your season, are there certain stats you look at? Is it the whole body of work? Is it OPS? I mean, it could be anything. What do you look at the end of the year?
Yeah, so I usually look at two things. OPS is definitely one of them. Obviously, you know, if I can slug in the middle of an order, we're probably going to score some runs. And if I can get on base for the guys that are hitting behind me, which, I mean, this year is even more important with the guys that we have, we're also going to score runs. And then I've always been a fan of RBIs.
All right.
Okay.
You know,
knocking guys in, which doesn't mean a whole lot anymore in the game, it seems. But the last time I checked, the more runs that we score, if we score more than the other team, we're going to win.
It's better. Yeah.
It's better, right?
It helps.
I think that's good.
Yeah. Trev's a big run differential guy, so it's huge.
I think that's telling for a team. But I love that you said that you still look at RBIs, because, yeah, they're circumstantial. And you have to have opportunities and whatnot. But hitting in the middle of the order where you're supposed to be a run producer, it's a different kind of at-bat. When you have guys 100%. In scoring position, your numbers should – be up over bases empty or whatever, but it's still a tough at bat. You have to be able to do it. And you have to, a lot of times you got to be selfless with it. You know, you can't go up there and try to get your ace swings off when you need one run and a guy's nasty. And a lot of guys do that and they're not successful. And the guys that are most successful year after year after year, driving in runs. And I always use Miguel Cabrera as the benchmark for this. If you watch him in his prime years, he was so good at just using the opposite way and inside outing balls and just getting that one run in. Like, that's what he'd always tell me. If there's a runner at third base with less than two out, I am going to get him in. Doesn't matter what I have to do. So it's a different at bat, and it is a skill.
Yeah,
for sure. Like, you use Miggy. I've gotten the chance to watch Anthony Rendon for the last 3 years, just pound 85 hoppers through the second base hole, right, for a run and an RBI.
Yeah. Well, I looked it up. Your OPS with runners in scoring position is pretty good, so good job. Congratulations.
There we go.
Trev was telling us that he had guys around the league when he would prep to see how a pitcher would attack him or what he wanted his approach to be, that he had kind of like comparison guys, right, Trev, that you would look at, like, how did this pitcher attack him? Do you do that? And if so, do you have a guy that you look at, like, he's your comparison? How did this guy attack this guy? Now I know what I'm going to do.
For sure. One that comes off the top of my head, and, like, you know, we're obviously a little bit spoiled. We get this information basically daily if we need it. But I always, maybe this is me being hopeful, but I always try to look at Goldie.
There you go.
There's a big, right-handed hitter, handles the outside of half of the plate better than he does the inner half, but can pop you if you go in there. So I always try to look at some of his at-bats off the pitchers that I face.
Yeah, that's a good one. My my current only one is your new teammate, Ronald Torres. We might circle around on him. similar body types, but
You slice Jake in half, vertically.
If I stopped with the late night Reese's, but that's another thing. Reese, something that caught me that you said before, and I was looking, you batted a bunch cleanup last year, and you guys have a lot of on-base dudes, and I'm just coming from our Yankee world and everything we see around baseball and knowing Philly sports radio, has there been a lot of discussion about, like, where you hit in the batting order? Because with the high OBP, I'm sure some people scream to go up top. Some people still hate that, and they want to see the meaty guy in the middle of the order. Do you care? Do you just show up and wherever I am in the lineup, or do you like having kind of that cleanup title?
The title doesn't mean anything to me, for sure. I always tell managers that if they ask, look, like, at the end of the day, I don't care where I hit. As long as I get to walk up to the little square on the left side of the plate, you know, facing the pitcher, that four or five times a day, I don't care where I hit. No, it just so happens that most of my career, it's been in that four hole, sometimes a little bit to two. I let off a little bit last year, but as long as I get the hit, I don't care where it comes from.
Dude, there's nothing better than hitting in the middle of the order. it's such a cool thing.
It's a little bit more swagger.
I got to do it a few times, not a lot. And when I did get to do it, yeah, it feels a little bit bigger when you walk up there.
Did you walk up a little bit bigger, Trev?
Yeah, you know, spread the legs a little bit more.
Yeah.
Pop the chest.
Yeah, it does. I'm telling you. I don't know what it is. It's just like you're supposed to be the guy that drives and runs. You're the extra base guy. But it's fun, man.
How long did it take you to go, okay, well, your second game of your career, you were batting cleanup.
I hit seventh my first debut.
Trevor, your thoughts?
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, didn't you hit like 40 homers in Lehigh and Reading the year before?
In Reading, I hit 38.
So, I mean, this guy is coming up. You know he's going to hit homers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nuts. Hey, speaking of home runs, you had the slowest home run trot ever last year. A little showmanship against the Mets, who came high at you. That was your response after hitting a home run. How early on was that planned? Or was it once you hit the home run, okay, I'm going slow trot on their ass? Or was it way like, if I do, I'm doing this?
Yeah, it wasn't planned at all.
Oh, I love it.
That's awesome. I hit it, and if you go back and watch, I knew I got it, and it barely got out, but
yeah, hey, still counts.
And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to take my time.
Hell yeah,
it
dude.
It lasted a lot longer than I thought it was going to.
Well, once you go slow, it's not like you have to ride it out. You can't just, like, put the burners on after second. You even gave the bullpen. I think I did a little breakdown on it. You gave the bullpen a little shout out.
I remember seeing it.
Yeah, I compared you to Joe West because you were running at his max speed. It's true.
Did anybody chirp you? Any of the guys in the infield?
No, nobody.
Did anyone say anything?
Nobody said a word.
Did anyone say anything after? Yeah.
Well, the Mets can't.
The catcher didn't say anything to me.
That's because they knew.
I mean, doesn't that say something?
If they were to do the same thing, they would have done it.
Well, and they were the ones throwing at his head.
Exactly.
So, and then
that was a crazy couple days.
Bryce Harper later on in the season had like the fastest home run trot when he hit the walk off.
Oh, I know. I thought he was going to catch me.
I synced them up, though. You're slow and his fast, and he almost does two laps before you finish your home run try. If he didn't,
hey, you never know when the last one's, it's going to be your last one. You got to savor it.
Do you think you'll try and beat that record moving forward, just a slower?
Unless I get thrown on my head again.
I think that's great. That should be your response to whatever a team throws at your head. I'm a slow trot your ass. It's coming. Good.
The worst part about that whole, or maybe best, was I heard our AAA team, because that the pitcher, the young guy that got sent down that threw at me, they were playing Lehigh like a week after, and they played the video as he warmed up in the game.
Oh, that's tough.
All time troll level.
That's tough.
Iron pigs, man.
Minor league teams are ruthless. They got to entertain at all costs.
What we could do baseball stuff all day, but we like the silly stuff too. What do people need to know about you, Reese? Like, what's Reese Hoskins off the field? Are you, you said at the start there's only so many movies you can go through, but are you a movie dude, music, hunt, fish? What do you got?
Honestly, I'm pretty plain Jane, and I'm completely okay with that. I don't really like to hunt. I don't really like to fish. I have a dog that I spend a ton of time out with outside with.
Like that. What kind of dog?
He's a English Golden.
Oh, Kroger. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I love shoes. I have way too many shoes.
Good style, good shoes.
Yeah, I mean, we're from California. We got it, Trev.
That's right, baby.
I love shoes. I have a really weird collection of socks.
Oh, wow.
Sock game strong.
How many different pairs? How do you have to flaunt those sneakily, or do you go shorts and high socks?
I wouldn't say never. It's more sneakily for sure.
Okay.
I think in high school, it was shorts and high socks.
All right. Now you just pull the pants up a little bit when you sit down and hope someone peeks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that.
Subtle swag.
Are they like just like patterns and colors, or are you wearing like Superman, SpongeBob socks like that?
All sorts of all of it.
All right.
Yeah.
All over.
I got to ask you this question.
Okay.
Because I think I've talked about this before. We're talking about Arrieta.
Okay.
Just our guy. You know, he's
one of a kind guy.
Eccentric. When you're really rich and you're strange, they call you eccentric, which is great. But his personal style is something I've never seen before. I mean, we know, like, he comes back from a road trip, he's got 50 boxes in his locker. And the way I've described his style before, it's like a rich homeless person.
It's great.
He wears this one brand that's like four different shirts patched together to make one shirt.
Mm.
And it just kind of looks like he's a hobo with really good style. I don't really know how to explain it. It works really well for him. And he is one of my favorite teammates I've ever had. But he's just out there, and I love it.
Yeah, and it's spot on for him. And I couldn't imagine it any other way. Obviously, I've only known him for a couple of years now. But
he's got
fanny
pack. He's got
unapologetically himself.
He's done the body issue. If the body issue, if they reach out to you, would you be down to do the ESPN body issue? This is a burning question. People, they tweeted this in. Make sure you ask him,
man,
if he wants to do the body issue. It's Jake's one goal in life.
Yeah, I will.
Shoot, I don't see. I feel like that's the kind of thing that you can't say no to.
Okay,
I agree.
Yes,
I agree. Show it off, baby.
Let the world know. Who's your plane buddy?
So I always sit in between Scott Kingery in front of me.
Kinger, high T.
And then Jake is usually right behind me.
All right. So you ever fuck with your seat? You lean back on him?
No. Yeah. Sometimes. I always give him a heads up.
You
remember what the plane rides were like in Philly. I didn't spend that much time with you guys. It was really quick, my time there. But
end of 18.
Yeah.
They make you sit with the reporters, Trev?
Ooh. Oh, my.
They're like, who is this guy? Tommy's really loud. Tommy Hunter's really loud. A little bit of card playing.
But again, yeah, a little bit of card playing. I think 18 was when Mario Kart was huge.
Yeah.
With the Switches.
Mm.
So I think there was some of that coming out.
Good stuff, though.
Did the vibe around, like, we talked to some people when we were at spring training with all the new managers and kind of a whole new, like, regime with Joe at the helm. Did it feel any different? Was there tangible differences right away?
Just more feeling. I think one underrated thing that maybe not a lot of people realize is Joe being back with Rob Thompson.
Yeah, Topper does everything.
His bench coach, everything.
Yeah.
And just the trust that they have with each other, just the interactions are seamless. You can see that. You can feel that in-game, in the clubhouse, around the whole camp.
Was Larry Bo was at camp too, right?
Always, still chugging along.
and Pena, that was the crew. It was Topper, Joe, Bo, and Pena for like a decade in New York. So you got the whole gang back together. But
yeah.
Joe's fun. He always did like a big event. Did you get? Well, I guess spring never ended because of the damn virus. He always did a big like pool day, or I like a lot of camps do that. But
we didn't have a big event. We were playing Family Feud in the morning.
Oh, okay, that's fun.
Any good stuff?
I mean, it's Family Feud.
Yeah,
not Clubhouse Feud.
Did you guys have the ping pong tourney again this
we
year?
We didn't. No, we didn't.
Are you good at ping pong?
I'm okay.
All right.
I'm okay. We got a couple guys in the clubhouse that have expensive custom paddles.
Oh.
And I'm more of a sandpaper, piece of wood.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't.
Can't.
More the defender.
You they better be good. If you have a custom paddle, you better not get beat. That's like the risk you run there. You can't do that.
Yeah.
I think you ever seen a.
Go ahead, Jay.
No, I was saying Arrieta won it last year in spring training, and it was a really good match.
Yeah, I want to say it was him and Cousins.
Came back against somebody. Who was it?
Was it Cousins?
It might have been. I mean, Cousins is really good.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was him.
Too big.
It was somebody else, and it was a big match, and Jake was down, and then they rallied off like 3 or 4 points in a row to take the crown. And
was it Kingery?
I don't know. I don't think it was Kinger either, but Jake. I'm sure Jake's one of the guys with his custom paddle, right?
It's a good guess.
We talked about you in the slow home run trot against the Mets, which is a nice dig at them. But even without that, you fucking crushed the Mets, man, especially their good pitchers. What's up with that? Like, your numbers against Syndergaard are as if I don't think I could beat – those numbers in a video game if I was playing as you against Syndergaard. It's insane.
I mean, it's some guys you just see really well. Some guys you don't. And oftentimes it's you see guys that a lot of other guys don't see well, and a lot of other guys see someone well and you don't.
Is this a thing? Do Mets fans, like, chirp you? Do they hate you? Are you known as a Mets killer? I'm not too familiar with the NL East, but, I mean, listen to this, Trev. Versus Syndergaard, DeGrom, and Mats, he has a 1.164 OPS. And that's like 64 plate appearances. Like, he fucking crushes these top Mets pitchers.
I think
it's
Matt,
not just Syndergaard, it's DeGrom as well.
Yeah, he's in there, but Syndergaard numbers are like mean.
Yeah, Syndergaard's for sure the best. DeGrom's definitely the worst. I have some like iffy doubles off him that still count.
The on base percentage is there with DeGrom though.
Yeah, and I think Matt's on like 3 for 18 with like 3 homers.
Yeah, yeah. And Wheeler was the one pitcher that you didn't crush, but now he's on your team, so that was a great move.
Yes, the best move.
What's the flip side of that? You know, because like you said, there are some guys that you see well that other guys don't. Who's the guy that you don't see well, and other guys always rake him?
I can find him for you if you want.
I mean, I know I don't see Scherzer and Strasburg well.
I think that's okay. Fair. That's allowed.
Yeah. Fair. Me either.
I'm trying to think of guys in our division because we see them a lot. I haven't faced Freed that many times, but I don't think I have any success off him, and I feel like
Trevor's
we
boy.
Crush him.
He's a friend of the pod.
Yeah. Nice hair.
For me, it was Ubaldo Jimenez. Okay. And it was late career Ubaldo. And we would just score a ton of runs off him, and I would strike out 4 times. And I
mean, somebody has to make the outs.
I just knew it. I'd walk up to plate like, this is going to suck.
That was the problem number one, Trev. Come on.
Well, that didn't happen right away. But after like the 6 or 7 at bat, when you've just like struck out the entire time, it happens. But I mean, we'll let you pass with Scherzer and
That's good. What about a good conversationalist? Do you have someone in the NL East that like when they get the first base, like, all right, what's up, man? How you doing? And it's they're fun to chat with.
I really enjoy talking to Freddie Freeman.
That was someone else's answer as well. Freddie's just the most like guy in MLB.
He's got like this dry, sarcastic humor that I think will always be funny. I mean, I'm sure you guys saw the mic'd up stuff that he did. Like,
yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's who he is. That's not something that he's putting on for the cameras.
Are you all for the mic'd up stuff? Like if they fully tried to implement that, are you in on that? Or are you kind of like, nah, or what?
I'd be curious to see how it would go in the regular season when the games count. I think spring training, there should be at least one guy on both teams mic'd up. Yes. Like no matter what, just for fan engagement.
Yeah. What if they, cause we were talking with Flaherty about this and like the NFL has done, the Sounds FX or whatever the next day, like every Sunday, every team besides two play a day game. They should mic up a player on each team or the home plate ump. And or first baseman would be good as well. And then put it out Monday night as a half hour show. Would you be down with that?
I think 100%.
I don't know why they don't do that.
Come on, MLB.
Yeah. Doing it live is a little strange.
I don't even want it as a viewer. I don't want it live. Like I like it in spring training, but I want to watch the game. I'm into the game. So I don't want a player talking.
Yeah. Right.
But showing the highlights the next day with those guys talking would be really cool.
I think so. Or maybe do someone on the dugout who's into the game, right? And you can hear guys break down certain things. What if it's a hitter talking about pitchers or bullpen guys or whatever it is, right? Like I think you just get some more insight into the way that each guy thinks, and I think people would like that. I mean, everybody loves Hard Knocks.
Everybody loves
Hard Knocks.
So, I mean, why not?
Do you plan on getting ejected again next season?
Plan? I don't know if I ever plan. My first one in the big leagues, I didn't even get my money's worth. It wasn't even worth it.
Was it last year or was that 18?
It was last year.
Gabe was.
What was the scenario?
Gabe was hilarious with his ejections last year.
It was like the fourth inning. I struck out to end the inning on a pitch that I did not think was a strike. Okay. And I supposedly threw my equipment too hard. And got tossed for that.
Come
supposedly.
On,
guys, man.
That's what they said?
Who was it?
Yeah, should I name names?
Name names.
I mean, we could find it.
Yeah.
It was Will Little.
Okay.
That's the guy that
Joe West crew.
Yeah.
Sometimes the younger guys have a quicker trigger.
Yeah, and look, yeah, like I just don't think it was for the reason that he said. That's just what he said.
Oh.
You think there's something else to the story?
I do. I think there usually is.
Oh, okay. Is he mad at Gabe? Trev?
Maybe.
Gabe was really good with his ejections.
Gabe?
Yeah.
It's hilarious. I mean, his breakdown for me is gold because you could read his lips and what he was saying just was so naive. He'd be like, I mean, one ejection, he wanted them to change the call and they wouldn't. And he was like, you're really not going to change the call? I was like, Gabe, no one's done that in the history of baseball. Come on now. They're stubborn as hell. I think you should go for one ejection a season. I think that's just good fun.
Content.
You got to make it worth it. And you got to speak really enunciate so I can read your lips. And make
so
it
you
big.
Can do it? Okay.
Yeah, that'd be much appreciated.
One thing that I saw, it wasn't that long ago, actually, maybe during spring training, was that the guy argued, went back into the dugout, grabbed the trash can, and put it behind home plate.
Yeah, I saw that.
And
I remember
just
that
walked
one.
Off.
That was good.
I think
that's
classic. I don't know. It might have even been in the minor leagues. That's
awesome. I think it was minor leagues.
Yeah.
Bryce had a good one last year, just straight up calling the ump soft. You're fucking soft, bro.
In New York?
Yeah.
Or was that?
I think it was home.
Yeah.
Do you ever, if you could switch styles with Bryce Harper and then you run out with the headband on and the tapered pants, you think you'd look good?
I don't.
He pulls it off though, man. I like his style.
Yeah, it's flashy.
He owns it.
He turned baseball pants into joggers.
For sure. Yes.
Yeah. They're way different.
When you're really rich, you could do whatever you want.
Yeah. Well, you win an MVP.
That's true. MVP is help.
What and we'll see when baseball comes back, whatever that looks like when it does. What should we know about this Phillies team that we can't just by looking at the roster and being like, oh, Didi's a nice added shortstop? Like, what should the people know about the Phillies team that you saw in spring training this year?
That Scott Kingery will be much, much better because he'll play one position.
Okay, interesting.
And it's most likely his natural position.
Big year for Kinger. All right, all the fantasy geeks are into that. Perfect.
I think if he plays second base, you'll talk about him as a gold glover.
I love that.
Ooh, okay. I like that.
High T guy.
Perfect.
High T guy?
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. We'll get a full list by the end
love
of the season.
Love that term's sticking. I'm going to make my all high T team.
I'm going to make an all low T team.
Low T team.
Perfect.
Yeah.
It's tough.
There's a lot of low T guys in the league, you know?
That's okay.
That's fine.
Yeah, just makes the high T guys that much better.
Low T guy.
Who's that, Plouf?
Mitch Moreland?
He's
low T. Low T guy. Like,
it's me.
It's not a bad thing. It's just kind of like takes his time.
Okay.
Does his thing. Scotty is definitely more of a, like, I'm running everywhere. I'm sprinting. I'm going balls out. High T guy.
All right. Can appreciate it.
Tough for the low tiers.
Cool.
But, I don't know. Anything you got to shout out, Reese? Are you gonna are you pumping the Instagram game during this time, or what do you need to shout out?
I don't know.
Or questions for us?
I've thought about it, you know, trying to be more engaging because we have time. I mean, I follow Trev. He's always on the Twitter. I'll probably do a couple Q&As throughout this, or just, you know, real interactive with whoever wants to talk about whatever you want.
That's what it's all about.
I mean, we got the
You're
time.
You're friend of the pod now.
Yeah.
I will say I'm wearing this hat here, which I'm trying to.
There you go.
This is one of the sneaker shops that I shop at Philly.
Okay.
The guy's become a really good homie, and obviously with all this stuff going on, small businesses are hurting. So
name it out. We can't really see it.
Wait, hold on. BBD's doing his magic.
I gotta go the other way.
There you go. Beautiful.
Lapstone.
It's called
Lapstone
and Hammer.
Lapstone and Hammer. Nice. Perfect.
So obviously support your small businesses.
Yep.
Love it. Especially shoes.
I love that.
Cool. All right.
I texted one last thing before we go. Because I don't have great style. I tried to. I texted Nappy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Nap. Like, where do I get cool shoes? And he hooked it up, so I appreciate that. Because you guys kind of go hand in hand with the cool shoes. And I've just been a Vans guy, and I wanted to get some like sick Nikes.
Okay, what'd you get?
I showed them to him. He didn't like them that much.
Oh, no.
They're like the Blazers. So they're just kind of like standard.
White with this black swoosh?
Yeah, black swoosh.
Hey, that's it goes with anything.
Yeah, I'm trying to step my game up for you.
Versatile.
I'll see what I can do.
Do you have a favorite pair of shoes, Reese, or is that like picking favorite kids?
So I took a grab bag on my way back to Philly and sent a bunch of stuff on the truck. And I took probably 20 pairs of shoes down to spring training.
Nice. How many times do you put on a pair of socks and then you go to get the shoes and you're like, damn, these shoes don't go with these socks. And then you have to decide which one do I want to wear more today, the socks or the shoes. And then you have a whole big internal decision to make over the socks and the shoes.
Well, the shoes are always going to win.
Okay.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
They're out front. That's
fair. But I had to take two pairs to put in this grab bag. I was like, all right, if something were to happen, what two pairs of shoes do I not want to lose?
it's like an icebreaker question come to life.
There you go. So I have the Travis Scott Jordan 1 that I love. And then I have the it's an Air Max 97, the Sean Witherspoon, multiple colors, corduroy.
Witherspoon?
Corduroy.
I know those shoes.
Man, those sound sweaty. Cool. But
those are my two.
Now we all got shoes. We'll get the whole John Boy Media crew some nice new shoes from your recommendations.
You
can have some Plouffe.
I need some.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like yours that you went with aren't a hit.
No, they're kind of just too standard. Like anybody can
shoes. No, no. Good starter shoe.
Yes.
That's how you wrap that up somewhere. In the compliment. Cool. All right, man. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it. Hopefully we get baseball back soon and you can go do your thing. But in the meantime, enjoy the movies.
Yeah, appreciate it. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Reese.